is Jack Braun.
This is Ed Burns.
And both of us are in the sunny fields of Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's May. It's time for the Sloan CIO Forum for 2014. We and other Tech Target editors have been covering the event. And Ed, give me a sense. There's a fair amount of attention here to a term we've carried forward quite a bit, which is big data. And what's the read on big data today here at MIT?
Well, it's interesting to see it getting so much play here at this sort of general CIO conference. I mean, clearly it's something that's on the minds of a lot of CIOs right now. And so it seems like a lot of them are trying to figure out what exactly it means. And for a lot of the speakers, it turns out it doesn't really mean a whole lot. And so a lot of the CIOs, it seems like, are looking for something that actually makes sense and is a little bit more specific and applicable than just this general term, big data. And so there have been a few people talking about what exactly does it mean when you're doing big data? Is it storing a lot of data? Is it ingesting, streaming data? Is it doing analytics on big databases? But whatever the specific use case that the specific CIO is looking to solve, it seems like they're finding that big data as a general term isn't really satisfying what they need. There was one panelist during the big data panel that I was just at who proposed the term e-knowledge. I don't know exactly what that means, but maybe in the near future we'll be seeing people talk about e-knowledge rather than big data, or maybe one of the other myriad terms people have been proposing to replace the term big data. I was talking to the CEO of RapidMiner, a company that does a lot of advanced analytics, predictive analytics, and I asked him if he is interested, if his company is interested in big data, and he kind of said, well, yeah, we have to be just so that people see us and know what we're all about, but when it comes to actually working with clients, they don't really sell clients on big data, and I thought that was really telling because, you know, as people have been talking about moving beyond the term big data, one of the reasons they give for that is that it's basically just a marketing term. It's good for marketing hype. And so I think if someone who has a lot to gain from marketing hype says that its time is over, it's probably over.
And there was some discussion of sort of the chasm between the generalized solutions of the past. These are the RDBs, the SQL-based databases, versus these for-purpose, kind of one-off systems of all kind that are coming down the data pike.
Right, and so some of the speakers were talking about what we might be seeing in the near future. Like you said, you know, recent past we saw, SQL servers, RDBs, and it was very general, and you could use it for just about any of your data needs. But now we're seeing, you know, Hadoop and visualization software and self-service analytics software and predictive analytics software and advanced analytics software, and the whole market is just very fragmented and, you know, there's a specific product for every single need imaginable. And so some of the speakers are saying that for now, because there is no one ubiquitous technology, they have to look at every single use case and determine what the best tool is. And it's a constant process that they have to go back to every 18 months or so. But it's the kind of thing where a lot of people seem to expect that the market will consolidate and we will start to see more of these generalized, broadly applicable tools similar to what we have been seeing in the past.
The data scientists, that's another point of discussion, and yet sometimes you wonder if it's encumbrance. Are they really seeing evidence at this event that the data that's being rolled up, the data that's being parsed and diced, is it still depend on a really highly skilled person to look at, and is that person easy to find?
Well, the answer seems to be a little yes and no, as with all things. When I was speaking with the RapidMiner CEO, he was saying, yes, you could use our tool without a data scientist on your payroll, but you probably still do want one. You know, he was saying that the tool on its own can maybe give you correlations of 95%, but, you know, add in a data scientist and he may be able to develop correlations that are closer to 98% and give you that extra level of certainty. So it can help, but maybe not necessary. That was his take anyway. One of the other panelists in the big data panel, PhD level data scientist, he's worked his whole career as a data scientist, and he said his number one job right now is to put people like himself out of work. You know, he's trying to develop tools that are so simple to use that anyone can use them. And so, you know, that seems to be the way, the direction that a lot of businesses are looking to go right now. We see a lot of self-service visualization tools are really popular. People want to just give the data to their business analysts and let them run with it. Whether or not we need a data scientist, it may depend on how the market for these tools does consolidate and, you know, what tool becomes that one ubiquitous tool and how usable that is to a general business user. That may determine to a large degree the future of data scientists and business.
Well, I think some of these issues are eternal with technologies, and it is kind of fun to be at MIT where they've done it before on a lot of different levels with a lot of different technologies, microwave and radar and what have you. So it was nice for this Talking Data podcast to be out and about, and I guess we got to go back to class now.
All right. Well, thanks for doing the podcast with me, Spencer.